So here is trouble. Now in this kind of trouble, you then have also the commoners bitterly suffering.
All of that.
Can you stick it out another quarter of an hour? In the famous dispute of a man who wants to commit suicide with his soul. So that is not a pharaoh, but a commoner. He wants to commit suicide, if there is his order, because he doesn't like to live in that sort of environment. And from this I want just to give a few examples of description. I cannot give the whole analysis, but because time is too far advanced, but at least a few examples. He describes the disordered social world in which he lives. Now look at the formulation. They're always given in tristics, in which the first line is repeated. He says, for instance, to whom can I speak today? One's fellows are evil. The friends of today do not love. If you translate it into classical philosophy or Christian terminology, it means that the classical philia politica, or the love among men in confidence, has disappeared when the order emanating from the gods is gone. Everything has become a man alone for himself and has become evil, therefore. Very drastically, this loneliness and the loss of character is described in the following Christian. To whom can I speak today? Faces have disappeared. Every man has a downcast face towards his fellows. Like a modern urbanized society, you might say, Riesmann's lonely crowd or such parallels emerge immediately. Or, to whom can I speak today? There is no one contented of heart. The man with whom one went no longer exists. So the dissolution of society, destruction, disappearance of contentment, the phenomenon of alienation makes itself felt. That is a description of the society when there is disorder. And then, how is that to be interpreted? When there is such disorder, man turns away from a life that has become senseless and contemplates suicide. Let me give you at least two of these suicide risks. Death faces me today, like the recovery of a sick man, like going out into the open after a confinement. Death faces me today like the longing of a man to see his home again after many years that he was held in captivity. And so he goes on and on. All the metaphors of escape from this reality as a release from sickness, a release from prison, a release from a darkness that makes you see the light and so on. And turning, returning to a sort of home now. And then what should be the result of such escape from this senseless reality? A sort of judgment in the beyond. In the last body, last group of these tristics, he says, why surely he who is yonder will be a living God, punishing the sin of him who commits it. Why surely he who is yonder will stand at the bark of the sun, causing the choices therein to be given to the temples. Why surely he who is yonder will be a man of wisdom, not hindered from appealing to Ray when he speaks. A sort of conception of a judgment in the beyond, in which man can participate because he is immortal, when he commits suicide in order to escape a world in which he is completely alienated, which has become strange to him, and against which death is then the real life. Very similar to the formulation which you find in Plato's Gorgias, for instance. Now, here you have an almost complete analysis of a deficient existence in society when the ma'at, the order, has disappeared, of a recovery of a truth of existence in the sense of the divine order which is necessary. But in this particular situation, a despair that through any sort of social action could be achieved, and that therefore the only sense, a meaningful course of action would be suicide that would bring man in his immortality into the company of the sun god and there reinforce his ordering power again for the world, for the restoration of the empire of Egypt. Now that is under Egyptian conditions, of course, a revolutionary conception, because under the empire conception, only the pharaoh is the mediator of divine order. A single Egyptian can do nothing about it. He can only create disorder. When here now appears a single man who by way of suicide becomes a living god like the pharaoh in the bark of the sun god, he places himself in the place of the pharaoh. So the center of order is understood to be man, not the ruler, the ultimate center of order. And this existential insight that the order is man, and not in the social organization, only the pharaoh, is absolutely present here. But it cannot crystallize into, although under other conditions it might become, a revolutionary movement, or a prophet who could assemble a sect around himself, or a philosopher who could found an academy or anything like that. Because all that is under Egyptian conditions yet impossible. The empire, in the cosmological sense, is so strongly institutionalized that if you have not status on the administrative level, on the priestly level of the temples and so on, you are nobody with regard to the order of the empire among the living. You would have to join the dead in the bark of the sun god in order to count for something. And that is why suicide becomes a problem. If that is no longer, the empire institutions are no longer so strongly alive that they are an absolute block to individual activity, then only you get into the problem of revolutionary action through new intellectual or other spiritual movements with the center of a personality, a prophet or something like that. So that is not yet possible. So let me close there with, and the next time we come then to the epiphany of man, when just such things become possible, how that can be done. Thank you very much.